email ray@rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Peter Andre!
Baby girl!
Hey! Good afternoon, Peter Andre. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Great to talk to you.
Hang on. We cannot start without your lovely interpretation of Bubba Ranks there. I heard you doing the baby girl. You even put a little nice little thing at the end of it. I was like, okay, I'm loving this.
I didn't even think about it. I just went with it, Peter.
Yeah, I love it. Yes. I love it.
Now, you're in Cork because you're bringing your big disco, or even the biggest disco ever, to the Marquee in Cork this June, Saturday, 22nd of June. And it's you, and it's E17, and it's Hadaway, and it's Bass Hunter, and it's loads of other people. And it just sounds like the biggest 90s party ever invented.
You know what? It's quite bizarre. I was actually talking to people about the 90s and how it's been 30 years. I know, it's shocking, right? And on that note, when you say to people, oh, have you heard this classic? And you're talking about a 1970s song or a 1980s song. And now my kids go, oh, Dad, have a listen to this classic. And they're playing something from 2011. I mean, it's devastating for me as a parent.
And what age are your children? You have Millie and Theo, and congratulations on the new arrival.
Thank you so much. Yeah. So Junior's 18.
Yeah.
Princess is 16. And don't I know it? I've got a 10-year-old, Amelia. Theo is 7. And our new baby was 4 weeks old yesterday.
Right.
And they're all wonderful and they're all very happy. And I definitely have realised that if I'm ever going to get grey hair, it's going to be now. That is for sure. But talking about the 90s, sorry, you were asking me a question.
I just want to go back to your family momentarily and we'll come back to the 90s because your new arrival, you said, is how many days old?
4 weeks yesterday.
4 weeks yesterday. So that'd be 28 days. I believe in the UK, you're given 42 days before you're allowed 42 days to come up with a name. So you haven't got a name yet.
No. And this exact thing happened with Amelia. So we were right till the 11th hour. I think we had to register the next day. And up until that point, we'd been calling her Rose.
Right.
And we didn't think Rose suited her at all, but we got to the registry and we looked at each other and said, she does not look like a rose. What are we going to do? And it was literally Amelia at that moment. But
now here's the thing. Because I've said this before on numerous occasions. I just don't understand it. And I know there are lots of people like you, Peter and your wife, Emily, who wait to see what the baby looks like and see what name will suit them. I just don't understand it. So can you explain that to me, please?
Well, you see, now, the reason why Junior wasn't so difficult was because in Greek culture, which is our culture, we usually name our children after our parents. Okay. So it's very easy. You don't even have to like it.
Yes.
So Theodore, for example, Theo was easy because he was named after my mum, who's called Theobisti, which means faith in God.
Right.
So
okay.
Theo, you know, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Junior was because I called him Junior Subba. My father's name is Subba. So his name is Junior Subba Andrea. So that's why Junior was easy because Subba we thought might be hard at school for kids to say, but Junior was quite easy.
Yes.
The difficulty this time is I've run out of parents. and I said to Emily, why don't we call them after your parents? You know, her father's got a beautiful Irish name, Rory McDonough. Yeah. And her mother's Rebecca. But as it turned out, Emily was like, I'm not sure she follows necessarily that tradition. So I said, look, I'll leave it to you. Okay. And it's taken, honestly, this long. I feel bad saying it, but it's taken this long. And I would either name after my sister or my mother or my grandmother. That's normally what we do. So for us, it's a lot easier normally. But people haven't believed us that it's taken this long. And it truly has.
So you've 14 days, yourself and Emily, 2 weeks.
I think in the next couple of days, we're going to have to hone in. We're going to have to do it.
Yeah. There's loads of lovely Irish names. I'm sure Emily knows that and her dad, Rory, would know that as well. And her mum, Rebecca. Loads of good Irish names there. Well, good luck with that.
I appreciate that. Have you got any suggestions for me?
Well, look, I would have loads, you know. I think your intuition is good, say on Junior, because you have to give the name to the meanest, smartest person in the playground and see what they can do with it. And
yeah,
if they can make anything slaggable out of it, don't give your child that name. Yes.
I mean, there was Junior, was it? I probably should have thought a bit harder about that.
No, but that's a good name. It's a good, strong name. The other thing a lot of people use is the walking into a boardroom when they're 35 test. Did you ever use that one? It's
a long time ago, I'm afraid.
It's the handshake. No, but it's the handshake. So you go, right, okay, this baby girl, she will be 35. She may be in a boardroom. She'll go in and she'll introduce herself. You know, she'll go, hi, my name is whatever, you know, Joan Andre. And you go, yeah, that's a good, strong name. Joan
Andre. I really like that idea. Do you know what? I'm actually going to write that down right now, because tonight I promised Emily when I get home, we're really going to try and get and sort this out tonight. I'm going to use that, the 35-year-old trick. I love that. I've got to get it right, though, what I'm saying, because I'm going to end up messing this up. I know it.
It's just the handshake on the introduction. You need something that's good and strong and, you know.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, Peter Andre. Hello, yeah. Peter Andre, you know.
Yes.
Right, now, back to the 90s then. Back to the 90s.
The reason I went back to the 90s was because you asked me a question about the 90s, and as usual, I diverted because I get excited, and I completely felt like I interrupted you, so I went back to it. But yes, carry on.
Yeah, so it's the biggest disco, and it's you, and you were one of the best-selling pop stars of the 90s. We played that song, we played a bit of it again. Huge, huge song. Still been played in nightclubs. How many, like, and it was number one all over the world, and it's just immediately recognisable. With a song like that, Peter, is it, do you ever sort of not like it, or do you always love it?
No, I think I went through a stage, as people do when they're in this industry. I think they can take it all a bit serious at times. And I think in the early days, you know, you kind of want to do the best you can to be number one. So you're trying to look for the next song. And I remember releasing Flavor, which was after Mysterious Girl. That went straight to number one. And then I was determined to just perform Flavor everywhere. And then one day I went and saw a Prince concert, and he didn't do any of the songs that we loved. And I was devastated. Yeah. I mean, it was all new material. And I thought, well, I love Prince. I couldn't wait to leave, because I literally thought, well... And then I thought, what are you doing? You know, if you're even known for one verse of a song, you sing that till the end, you know, until you can't breathe no more. I mean, you think of Neil Diamond, how many classics he's had, but yet everyone sings
Caroline,
you know, and what a joy to be able to have a song that people sing, you know, whether it's your best work or your not best, it doesn't matter. It's a wonderful thing.
Can I just tell you that we have Louise and Grace working on the show today, and they sang every last word of even the rap, and they were waving their hands in the air, and it brightened up their day. They're having a better day as a result of you, Peter Andre.
Well, I actually spoke to them before I came on air, and they said that they came to my concert in Dublin at the Point in 1996, I think it was. And honestly, like, that means a lot to me. But what I will say to your lovely audience is that it's not hard to learn this song, because the chorus only has oh 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 oh, Mysterious Girl. I mean, it's pretty easy to learn this one.
Yeah. You were talking about Prince there, and people probably that would have known this at some stage would probably have forgotten that you supported Madonna in Australia back in the day.
Yes. So I didn't come to the UK till 95, 96, but I got signed in Australia in 1990, and I released what was the biggest selling single in Australia, called Give Me a Little Sign, which is actually an old Brenton Wood song. And it was huge in Australia. It was bigger than what Mysterious Girl ended up being. It never got released in the UK. And because of that, I ended up going and being Madonna's opening act for the Girly Tour. So rather than starting in small little venues and working your way up, I started at stadiums and then worked my way down. Because I did stadiums with Madonna, I thought, well, where can I go from here? But she was lovely. And then I came to England to record Mysterious Girl, to record the second album for Australia. But as it turned out, thankfully, it took off on this side, and then Flavor and Mysterious Girl and Natural and all those songs.
We've interviewed you before. You're a gentleman and you're a hard worker. You've never stopped working. There was a time, though, early on when it was all too much for you. And it's a story that's repeated over and over again with people in the pop music industry who, you know, get fame early on. They work really hard to the point of burnout.
Yeah. Yeah, I was about, I think it must have been around 1997 or 98 or something like that. And I was at actually my peak. I was in America working with Diane Warren, who's an incredible songwriter, Montel Jordan, Coolio. I mean, it was amazing.
Yes, yeah.
The Fugees. And then here I was thinking, right, this is the best it can be. And out of nowhere, I got hit with the humble card. I mean, it hit me hard. I suffered what I didn't know at the time was a breakdown. And I don't know where it came from. You know, we come from a generation, my parents were so loving, so strict, very religious. You know, where did this breakdown come from? We never even knew anything like that existed. Mm. And I ended up in all sorts of hospitals, medication, therapists, trying to figure out what was wrong. And that went on for years. And what happened was, I remember one night, and I tell this story often, I remember praying, saying, please, please, God, just, you know, get me through this night. Because it was a really dark place. And I said, and if I ever get the chance again, I will never take anything for granted. I kept repeating that over and over again. Anyway, as time went on, a year or 2 years passed, and I started to feel a lot better. And I remember the day I felt amazing, and I said, right, I am never, ever taking this for granted again. And so I started to work hard, but in a different way. I started to make sure I had time with family, had time with my brothers, my mum and dad, always speaking to them all the time. And I just learned a different way.
Mm.
Yeah.
And you became a different person.
Yeah, well, I think I became I'm now the person I feel I was before it all started.
That's,
when I was
isn't that interesting, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
That if the pop fame hadn't happened, it's that Peter Andre that you are.
Yeah, and I appreciate what I became, but there were parts of what I became that I didn't like. You know, I honestly believe I became a bit arrogant. You know, I mean, taking your shirt off, walking around. I mean, come on, Peter. You know, but
put the shirt back on.
It was a bit like, you know, but actually, all of that was just, it was great because I'm now here and things are wonderful.
But in fairness, if you have it flaunted, Peter, you know, like that's fair enough, isn't it?
Well, I think they like to hibernate at the moment. Those little abs, they're relaxing now.
So this is great. It's Marquee in Cork, 22nd of June, and it's just a celebration of the 90s.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's party, party, party.
Yeah. And for anyone that doesn't know any of the other stuff that I did, just get Learning Flavour and Natural and All Night All Right. And if you can remember these songs, go and you'll find them on Spotify. Just learn them before you come, because you're going to know How to Weigh songs. You're going to know Mysterious Girl from Me. You're going to know some of E17 songs, but I'm going to give you a few more to learn for the day. And then let's just have a great, great time.
That's the homework there. Ticketmaster.ie. Tickets are on sale now. So you were mentioning your wife, Emily, and her family have Irish heritage.
Yes.
Rory McDonough. You can't argue with that name. Whereabouts in the country do you know?
So I was visiting Ireland with Emily, and we went to this beautiful place, and it was one of the most beautiful places I'd seen. And I took a picture and sent it to her dad, and I said, we're in this beautiful place called Donegal.
Yeah.
Donegal. And he said, that's where all my family are from. And I was like, what? So I fell in love with it instantly. Beautiful place, beautiful place. And today I'm in Cork, and Cork is absolutely stunning. And the sun's out.
That's a lovely story, how you met Emily, because you were rushed to hospital, and Rory, Emily's dad, was your urologist of all things.
I know. I mean, if I had an operation, and if there is any more proof that there's no love without pain, I mean, I collapsed from this kidney problem. A father operated on me. We became friends for 2 years. I met the family. We all became friends for 2 or 3 years. I remember Junior meeting Emily when he was 5 and Princess was 3.
Yeah.
And we all were just friends for probably 2-3 years. And then one day I thought, uh-oh, I'm getting feelings. What do I do here? And I thought, if her father finds out, he's going to wish he did a different operation. And I went and asked him. I said, look, before I say anything to Emily, I'm really sorry, but I've got feelings. What are you okay with me asking her on a date, you know, and he laughed because he said to me, he kind of felt that there was that sort of chemistry that a few yeah. months leading up to that. And not only he was great about it, but he remains one of my best friends. Her father's like my best friend. I see him all the time. We're together all the time.
That's old school, isn't it? No,
oh, yeah.
You weren't asking permission for her hand in marriage. You were just asking permission to date her.
But I knew that I was serious. I wasn't. It wasn't a joke.
And she's in the family business, so to speak. She's a doctor as well, Dr.
Yes.
Emily McDonough. Now, they're suggesting names for you. That's the type of people we have listening to the show. Sophia, says somebody, the Greek meaning is wisdom. It's beautiful for an adult or a child's name. Sounds lovely with Amelia too. That's done in Waterford. Mm. And how about Saoirse? Now, Saoirse is a difficult one because, you know Saoirse Ronan, famous Irish actor. It's difficult to pronounce when you see the spelling of it. But Saoirse Andre.
Saoirse I like Andre. That.
Yeah, there you go.
There was another one I got told today. C-O-A-M-H-E.
Cuiva.
Cuiva.
Yes.
What a name.
Cuiva, yes.
A-O-B-H-I-N-N.
Evine or Avine.
How nice is that?
I know, but good luck with the pronunciation when she goes into the when she's welcomed in that boardroom in America when she's 35 and they're going, Eobin, Eobin, Eobin.
Yes, but I know. What if she's running the boardroom?
There you go. Yes. Right. So, biggest disco coming to Marquee in Cork, Saturday, June 22nd. Peter Andre, Bass Hunter, E17, Hadaway. Loads more. It's going to be one big hell of a party. Peter, lovely talking to you. I know you have a tight schedule, and we'll talk to you again soon. Peter Andre, thank you very much.
Thanks for your time, guys. Thank you so much.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.